Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want them to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Good morning. And a happy Wednesday here on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. I am Stephen Langford, leading you up until 6 o'clock. And yesterday, if you're a Giants fan, started out great. If you're an A's fan, not so much. Frankie Montas didn't look the same. But if you are a basketball fan who is not too big of a fan of the Lakers, not a fan of LeBron, and you want to see the Blazers, the 8 seed, take down the 1 seed, well, game 1 was last night. 100-93, the Blazers win.
James with Trent on him, turns the corner. Oh, another block by Whiteside. Number 5 tonight for Hassan.
And it's because the Lakers can't have that much spacing. You know why? They don't have many three-point shooters. Like that! Like that!
Damian Lillard!
If you don't do that, one dribble, don't foul, get out the way, Whiteside, and let Dame have his time.
And that was credit to TNT for that audio. We're going to talk a little bit about that game, everything that surrounded the playoffs. You good with that, C-Web? Good. All right, good. We're going to talk a little Giants. Good. C-Web likes it. The fact that Jimmy Butler and T.J. Warren seems to be the matchup to watch in these playoffs. I mean, the Magic taking down the Bucks, the Heat taking down the Pacers. That was so great. That yesterday was just a great day in basketball, and then we saw the Rockets and the Thunder. It just didn't seem like the Thunder really stood a chance for a majority of that game. James Harden having yet another 35-plus point game. But we got a lot to get into today because coming up at 7:45 this morning, we are going to be having one George Kittle on the program. So you're going to hear a lot from his agent, who also joined the show yesterday. So got a bunch of sound I want to play from that. We got Brian Windhorst talking about the Warriors' draft strategy, what they should do. Jason Richardson. We had a big day with guests yesterday, so a lot of it's going to be predicated surrounding that. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line. And the phone number, haven't gotten any texts yet so far, but from the 408, this is from last night, Seabark has always been that since day one. Seabark is a fool. You know, seeing him with his broom, sweeping, saying that if the Blazers win tonight, then they're going to sweep the Lakers. If you're going to make some sort of prediction like that, you might as well double down. You might as well. Why not? Why not? He called out Skip Bayless. Now, Skip Bayless, of course, tweeted about it and said, I'm going to be talking about this on Undisputed. So that's going to be happening a little later on today. But it was a lot of fun in the NBA. However, I do want to get to this Giants game, as the Giants are now 9-16 on the season, winning in convincing fashion, 8-2 over the Angels. It was really, it started out with Trevor Cahill in the outing that he had. Trevor Cahill going four innings pitched on four hits and one earned run. He had four Ks, but it's not what he did yesterday. It's just what he's done lifetime against the Angels, his former team. And, you know, obviously pitching with the A's, he's pitched against the Angels quite a bit. And he has a 223, the opponent, the Angels, that is, against Trevor Cahill, have a 223 batting average against him, with a, and he has a 2.31 ERA in 78 innings pitched, and he's had 12 career starts against them, 6-3 against them lifetime. And of course, he didn't get the win yesterday, but Harlan Garcia was the one who got the win, although he deserves to be 7-3 after that. But the funny part about that game, and one of my favorite moments, I don't know what my favorite moment was. I don't know if it was Dame Lillard who hit that 36-footer to take the lead over the Lakers. I don't know if it was that. I don't know if it was Dame Lillard dancing to Blow the Whistle and Going Dumb. I don't know if it was that. But this moment yesterday, Pablo Sandoval getting his first home run of the year. But it was where the pitch was located that cracked me up. Here's the home run from Pablo Sandoval to break the game open.
Sandoval, tomahawks one to deep right field. Adele back, out of here. And that was a tomahawk, and it's 3-1.
Wow, he is jumping down there.
And for the Panda, that's his first of the year.
Look, the credits to NBC Sports Bay Area for the audio. Watching Pablo Sandoval take wild swings, getting really aggressive, and remember when it was the early 2010 Sandoval, and it just didn't feel like that you could pitch within 3 feet of him because he was going to get the bat on the baseball? He's still that kind of player. He's still that kind of dude who's going to be aggressive in the box. And yesterday, he gets a pitch. It was for sure above the letters. That had to have been at his shoulder line. And he manages to tomahawk it into right field. And it was 100 degrees in this game. Mike Yastrzemski already led the game off with a homer. But just seeing Pablo Sandoval do that, it's good to see. And when Hunter Pence has success and he hits a three-run homer because that's all Hunter Pence does, that's fun to see. And, you know, it's... I don't understand this notion from Giants fans this year when you know that this season is not going to end up in playoffs considering how good the NL West seems to be so far out the gate. Try and have some fun and try and find a silver lining in everything. And watching Pablo Sandoval, even though he hasn't had much success this year, and it's definitely not the same as early 2010s Panda, but it's fun to see. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But Brandon Crawford, another big hit.
Crawford lines it to right and nobody's there. Longoria is the back runner. Solano's going to score. And Longoria scores and Crawford clears the bases.
So those guys are getting it done. All the old school guys. Brandon Belt, who's actually had a nice past few games or so, he's getting the bat on the ball. He seems to be swinging it well. So, you know, just try and find anything that you can in this season. However, there was one moment that happened in the game yesterday. Now, in the fifth inning, Evan Longoria got plunked. And if you haven't seen the picture of it, nobody likes to laugh at somebody getting beaned, right? Nobody likes watching pain. But the still shot that you're able to get from that video of Longoria getting hit is majestic. Very graceful. He's in midair. He looks like he's kind of flying. It's a very interesting one. But anyway, he got plunked in the fifth in the ribs. And the Giants relievers had another good day yesterday, and we'll get to the sound from Gabe Kaplan in a second talking about that. But Sean Anderson came in the final innings, and he threw high and inside to Mike Trout. It didn't seem to be any intent there. And again, he threw another pitch, but this time it was behind Mike Trout's head.
Watch out. I mean, seriously, Trout is one of those guys that very rarely
and he never
shows
reacts
the emotions.
Like that.
But he
yes.
threw his hands up, and now the umpires are going to get together here. Longoria got hit in the back. A ball from Jacob Barnes. Longoria's making his way toward the umpires. But, I mean, that's twice now on a fastball over or near the head of Mike Trout. Drilling Longoria.
And that one's right behind the head, Trout. The first one was up and in.
And that was from the Angels broadcast. But I do want to play the sound from the NBC Sports Bay Area broadcast from Kruk and Kipe.
Look out. That's behind him. And Trout's going, okay, what the heck's going on here? Remember, early in the game, Evan Longoria got plunked in the ribs with 97.
So, it seems like the broadcasters there kind of assume there was some intent, because it's hard to imagine a professional pitcher throwing and missing like that twice in a row. It just doesn't happen too often. You know, they're able to control their pitches to the, like, that's why I said the Joe Kelly thing. It could have been a lot worse when Joe Kelly threw at Bregman as well as Correa. I think that it could have been a lot worse, because it could have aimed right for their head. Instead, he was aiming right behind him. So you'd think twice in a row, maybe there was some intent there. But why would you want to throw at Mike Trout, for one? It's not like he's showboating. You guys are way up in the game. So you think twice a little bit. Maybe there wasn't much intent behind that. But Joe Maddon, the Angels manager, he kind of shed some light on it. He didn't think that it was, quote-unquote, malicious. Here's Joe Maddon after the game. Listen to what he has to say. It's pretty interesting.
Well, that's just a young man that's not ready to be here. That's all that is, the pitcher. There's nothing malicious about it. They've been around it before. More than anything, that's all that was. It could even been that he was intimidated by Mike being in a batter's box. This is not an excuse for him. I'm telling you, that's what I saw. And that's why you got to be careful as we move this thing further along, that we don't bring up guys that aren't ready to particularly pitch with command, because that's where people can get hurt. That's got to be watched. Totally my experience. There was no intent. This kid has had command issues. Like a lot of young pitchers, they don't know where their fastball is going, but you notice that he started to command his slider. He needed to just throw more sliders, and then he would be able to find a plate. That's all that was.
So Joe Maddon thinks that there was no intent. It's not malicious. Sean Anderson is just a young pitcher who doesn't have control of his fastball. And Gabe Kapler essentially said, no, there was no intent, because that's not who we are. So you're getting a little bit on both sides here. In the end, personally, I don't think there was any intent behind it. I do think he just missed them. And, you know, he was rattled at the time because there was no reason to throw at him. Getting retaliation for Longoria getting plunked in the fifth. I mean, there was no animosity there. There was no intent there. I don't believe that there was any intent from Sean Anderson to throw at Mike Trout, simply because the reasoning just doesn't make any sense to me. However, the rest of the Giants relievers did pretty damn well. And he Gabe Kapler, yet again, going with the smorgasbord of players, whether it's Caleb Barrager, Sam Selman, Wandy Peralta, Harlan Garcia, then, of course, Sean Anderson coming in the closing inning. But Gabe Kapler talked after the game and said he's proud of his bullpen.
Yeah, really proud of the work that the bullpen has done the last couple of days. And obviously, Trevor got beat yesterday. He got beat by a good hitter and actually coming out throwing better than he had in the previous two outings. But then today, just to get a high quality start from Trevor. And by the way, we extended Trevor Cahill a little bit today, a little bit beyond all of our comfort zone. He's built up to 1 2/3 his last time out, and before that in Sacramento, it wasn't a lot of work for him. So today was a big push and a big stretch, and we needed it. Gave us four quality innings and allowed us to go to our bullpen and get great work from Barriger and Selman, Peralta. Harlan Garcia has been great for us. So really high quality work from our pitching staff today. And just think it's important that we highlight the bullpen and the work that they did.
So there you go. There you go. The bullpen finally having a successful outing. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. I will just say this as well, being living in the East Bay, living in Livermore, going outside and smelling that campfire smell yet again. It's just really eerie when that happens. So hopefully everyone stay safe and stay smart. I know what's going on in the South Bay right now. It's pretty heavy over there. So everyone who's being affected by all the smoke going through the Bay Area, just be safe and you know, pay attention. If you have to, wear a mask inside. You got to take some proper precaution here because what we got going on right now, it's you know, it's scary. It's scary. But hopefully you know that we just want you to stay safe here at 95.7 The Game. Okay, coming up next, Dame Lillard. Great game yesterday against the Lakers. The playoffs in general were just great, as you're having four playoff games a day. But last night, watching the Blazers beat the Lakers, there was one moment that stood out. If you're from the Bay Area, and if you heard the song that they played in the background, Dame Lillard, well, let's just say you could take the kid out of the Bay Area, you could take the kid out of Oakland, but you can't take the Oakland out of the kid.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Go dumb for a second. Go dumb for a second. Go dumb for a second.
That was one of the great moments to happen yesterday. Besides Pablo Sandoval absolutely raking one, tomahawking it, as they put it. But when Dame had that game tied at 87-87, that was a, you know what, that was an interesting one because, look, it feels like with the Blazers and the Lakers, it doesn't seem like there's much they could do to stop LeBron. A majority of it yesterday was putting him one-on-one with Gary Trent Jr. You can't do that because LeBron's just going to drive straight to the rack. And they didn't seem to have much of an answer for him. I mean, LeBron getting the crazy triple-double. And, I mean, he had a good game, but it's the team, the talent around him, which just wasn't hitting the open shots. And the Blazers ended up hitting them late. And this is my favorite part about Blazers games. And this has been the entire thing in the bubble. The entire time, whenever Dame gets going, that's when the defense flocks toward Dame. And, you know, in the middle of the game from the third going into the fourth quarter, Dame can go crazy. But then in the final minutes of the fourth quarter, that's when they really start flocking to Dame Lillard. Then Carmelo's open in the corner for an open three. In that game against the Nets, that final one before they played the Grizzlies, before they got to the play-in game, everyone's saying, oh, they only won by one. Well, Carmelo had a wide open three in the quarter, and he just happened to miss. So he hit another one yesterday. It's good to see. From the 8-3-1, Dame Lillard owning those trash Lakers like the legend he is, Blazers in six. For the 9-2-5, nice guy, blow the whistle. Man, I don't think whenever the Bay Area has a representative in the playoffs and you get a guy like Dame Lillard from Oakland, and you see him dancing when it's tied 87-87. He can't help himself. And if you are from the Bay Area and you go to a concert, they could turn on, they could turn blow the whistle on the speakers, and you will. It's uncontrollable. You will go dumb. That happened to me at Coachella twice. It was in the electronic music tent, and they started playing Blow the Whistle, and you know how it goes. If you've ever been to one, that's the one song that they could play, and it's just, you can't stop, you can't help it. And Dame Lillard clearly felt that feeling, and this is him after the game when they asked about his quote-unquote dancing.
We've seen you hit big shots, but we saw you do something that I don't recall you ever doing before. After you hit the 36-footer, we saw some dance moves right over here in the corner.
They played the East Oakland anthem. So it was only right that I acknowledged the East Oakland anthem and go dumb for a second, and that was it.
So what would be the top three as far as the Bay Area anthems go. Because if I remember correctly, when E40 came out with, it wasn't the Ball Street Journal because that was the album after, I think it was My Ghetto Report Card, and Tell Me When to Go became popular. That was, that song, Blow the Whistle, not only that, but Tell Me When to Go, I feel like have been some of the most mainstream Bay Area songs. Maybe Feeling Myself by Mac Dre would be number three on that list. I don't know about that. 888-957-9570. Help me out with that. Trying to figure that out. The top three most popular Bay Area songs nationally. I'd put Blow the Whistle there at number one. Because everyone has respect for Too Short, knowing what, especially in the Bay Area, knowing that he was basically selling cassettes out of his from his trunk, just trying to make it. But Blow the Whistle, yeah, from the 925, Feeling Myself, Mac Dre. Although I think She Never Seen should be that number one song for Mac Dre, but that's just me. That's just me. Feeling Myself would probably it. Blow the Whistle, Tell Me When to Go, then Feeling Myself? Is that how we'd go? Top three most kind of mainstream Bay Area songs? I don't know. From the 925, I got five on it. That's a pretty good one. I got five on it. Yeah. Yeah, that works. From the 415, keep on getting them in. 888-957-9570 for the 415 Pimp of the Year, SF in the house. Lil Drew down. For the 415, the only thing I want for Christmas this year is for LeBron to retire with his GOAT title stripped from him when he gets spanked in the first round. Man, a lot of people hate LeBron. And if you say anything nice, anything positive about LeBron, you get this from the 510. Langford, the LeBum fanboy, he will be heading home in the first round. You know, that's going to be a series to watch out for. That game yesterday, and you know what? Let me play the highlight because I think this was the big one. The weird part about that game, too, I hadn't seen this, but Dwight Howard, he dunked and somehow moved the rim a little bit, tilted it at an angle. Then when Anthony Davis went up to shoot free throws, he noticed it. I don't know why I laughed at the time, but I thought it was funny when he was at the free throw line and they played in slow motion, him saying that the rim is crooked. I don't know why I found that so funny, but that's what he was mouthing out. And that was a weird thing to happen in the game. And it was more headed toward the Blazers direction. And I think the Blazers, man, when they're on, they're a damn good team. I think CJ's nice. I like CJ McCollum. I think Yusuf Nurkic, him making his return after not being in during the regular season before COVID hit and they suspended it. I thought Nurkic coming back during the bubble has made a world of difference. That way you don't have to rely on Hassan Whiteside to be your starting center. And when they got Whiteside and Nurkic on the floor, that at least gives them some flexibility to when LeBron is one-on-one with Gary Trent Jr., that at least gives them some flexibility for when he's driving to the rack and they can at least get some sort of body in the paint. And that's what Hassan Whiteside does. I think with the place that they have those guys in Carmelo and Hassan compared to their starting rotation, I think it's great. I think it's great. From the 925, yeah, the Ghost Ride it. Man, there's so many. New Oakland would be one of them for Mr. Fab. I was always a big fan of the one that he was featured in. It's not even Mr. Fab's song, but was it Potsy with That Girl? I highly recommend everyone looks that up. From the 707, the NBA song with Flo Rida and Sage the Gemini, who's from Fairfield, technically blew up. From the 707, Town Business, Keep the Sneak, That Go. I feel like That Go could be up there. From the 707, Nurk flips around and falls so much. Yeah, I know. But still, they give him, he at least helps the spacing on the floor for the Blazers so that their shooters can get outside. And when all the defenders are trying to flock to Dame Lillard toward the end of the game and Melo's open in the corner and he hits a dagger three, it feels like he's done that three different times in Orlando. It's been fun to watch. And you know what? Melo actually trying on defense too has been awesome because it seems like, you know, defense is what? what they say, 50% effort, right? And 50% brain. He's at least putting in that effort. And he's also got the basketball IQ, too, when he has that effort. So it's a perfect combination. But here's the highlight yesterday. This is what just puts Dame Lillard, and this is why he's mentioned in the same sentence as Steph Curry, even though some of you don't think he deserves to be.
James with Trent on him. James with Trent on him. Turns the corner. Oh, another block by Whiteside. Number five. James with Trent on him. Turns the corner. Oh, another block by Whiteside. Number five tonight for Hassan.
And it's because the Lakers.
Damn. From the 888-957-9570, from the Chilton Auto Body text line, from the 209, Anthony Davis staring cross-eyed at the rim with his one brow is comedy. That's Jack Vack from Tracy. I thought it was funny when they played it in slow-mo. I thought it was hilarious. Okay, 888-957-9570, keep the text rolling in. I'm loving it on a Wednesday. Coming up next, you're going to hear from George Kittle's agent. He was on with Coes, Lowe, and Covey yesterday. Incredibly good interview, a little long-winded, but he was awesome. 25 minutes was the length of the interview. I got a few clips there that I just wanted to play to show as a 49er fan. Kind of, it gave some insight as to who John Lynch is and why you should be lucky to have him as a manager when it comes to these players who are going under these contract negotiations. Jack Bechta is his name, George Kittle's agent. He was on the station yesterday, so we're going to play that. We got some sound from Kirk Lacob talking about the draft, Brian Windhorst talking about draft strategy for the Warriors, and today at 7:45, the man himself, George Kittle, will be coming up. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Go dumb for a second.
Love that. Love that. Loved it when the Blazers were beating the Lakers 100-93, making those games with the Bucks at the one seed and the Lakers at the one seed. The Bucks losing to the Magic, Lakers losing to the Blazers. And these other matchups, too, whether it was the Pacers and the Heat yesterday, watching Jimmy Butler heat up toward the end of the game. It was a good day of basketball. Really good day of basketball. From the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570 puts it perfectly. I don't care if Bay Area artists are recognized nationally. If anyone in any part of the country turns on a hyphy beat, you'll be able to weed out the Bay Area native in any setting. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention also some of the earlier groups, though, whether that be The Coup or Hieroglyphics, you know, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, I think, is also one that's real well-known. And then also from the 925, The Humpty Dance. Those guys rep for the Bay, Digital Underground for sure. When I learned, you know, that when I learned that Tupac kind of got his start around Digital Underground and I saw the video for Same Song, my mind was blown. I remember that. At the end, when he just said, Tupac, go ahead and rock this. Whew. Reaction to that was great. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, leading you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up here, I do want to play some sound from Jack Bechta, who is George Kittle's agent. And if you're a 49er fan, I think that this should make you feel confident. In the fact that Kyle Shanahan already is going to stick around, and it looks like John Lynch will too. But I think the way that he talked about his relationship with John Lynch and how they handled the entire situation with George Kittle, I think that it's going to give you some just some relief, I guess, that he's going to be your general manager, at least when it comes to contracts, because he was a former player, so he knows how it goes. He knows how it goes. From the 925, it was a hot night in August. It was humid. Oh, man. That's my favorite song by him, for sure. It's because, and with Mac Dre, for me, it's because of how simple everything is, at least lyrically, but the way he makes it sound, like in Dradio, you know, with Mac Maul, and I think E-40's on that song, too. But on Dradio, when he just said R-A-D-I-O, going to throw this thing back like G.I. Joe, it was the way he said it. I didn't say it in the, I don't think I gave it the appropriate, how do I put that? I don't think I gave it the appropriate pedestal that that song deserves to be on. From the 650, Boss Tycoon by Mac Dre and the Lunas. Yeah, Too Hard for the Effing Radio. That's another one, too. Big fan. Big fan. You know what? Before I get to this Jack Bechta sound, I'll play this Dame Lillard for you. This 36-footer that he hit yesterday, it had Chris Webber going crazy. It had him going nuts, but here's a sound courtesy of TNT.
James with Trent on him, turns the corner. Oh, another block by Whiteside. Number five tonight for Hassan.
And it's because the Lakers can't have that much spacing. You know why? They don't have many three-point shooters.
Damian Lillard. If you don't do that, one dribble, don't foul, get out the way, Whiteside, and let Dame have his time.
Why is that so funny? I mean, it was a crazy shot. I mean, he just took, I think he was double covered. And you know, and then he just steps to his right and right next to the logo, right on the corner to give them the lead, to really break the thing open. But it was Chris Webber's just surprise, I guess, at the entire thing because he was in the middle of trying to make a point.
James with Trent on him, turns the corner. Oh, another block by Whiteside. Number five tonight for Hassan.
And it's because the Lakers can't have that much spacing. You know why? They don't have many three-point shooters.
Like that!
It seemed to work. That was perfect. I just turned my mic off by accident. The popular moment, though, and the reason I'm kind of bringing up all this, this Bay Area music, sort of the mainstream type of stuff, man, it's funny listening to Della Funky Homo Sapien with If You Must, just because he just talks about good hygiene the entire time. I think it's really great. But Blow the Whistle was played in the arena when the game was tied 87-87, and Dame Lillard, after the game, making Oakland proud, explaining what happened there. This is courtesy of TNT.
We've seen you hit big shots, but we saw you do something that I don't recall you ever doing before. After you hit the 36-footer, we saw some dance moves right over here in the corner.
They played the East Oakland anthem. So it was only right that I acknowledged the East Oakland anthem and go dumb for a second, and that was it.
I kind of like the fact, too, that he didn't mention the actual name of the song. It's one of those, oh, man, please let me try and get this right. I want to get this acronym right. IYKYK. If you know, you know. Boom. Got it. Hang on.
Go dumb for a second.
All right. All right. All right.
Go dumb for a second.
Like that!
Love that. Love that. Great game yesterday. Looking forward to that series. It's going to be a good one going forward. From the 209, Weber's getting good. I do enjoy his breakdowns. Explains it well. That's Jack Vac from Tracy. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? You know who I really like? And I've been a big fan of for a while, really ever since he was a coach in Detroit. But you may not like him, but I think Stan Van Gundy has been terrific as an analyst. I really do. And I think that these announcers that they got for the playoffs so far, every single game, there's not one that I really don't like listening to. You know, there's some games, where I'll have it on, but I just don't really want to listen to the announcers, so I'll be playing music or playing a podcast in the background, but that's not really the case with basketball right now for me. I don't know about you, but for me, that's kind of how it is. Okay, so coming up at 7:45, 2 hours from now, just about, George Kittle is going to be joining Coz, Dibs, and Roxy Bernstein. That's going to be coming up at 7:45. George Kittle, again, joining the show. But his agent was on with us yesterday, and he gave us some insight because we know what happened with the George Kittle contract talks. We'd heard reports that talks were slowing down. They're moving nowhere fast. And then he ends up getting his 5-year, $75 million deal with $40 million guaranteed. And you know what? I'm going to take a victory lap, okay? I don't tend to like doing this as a radio host because it's just like, hey, listen to what I said. But for maybe, okay, I'm not going to say once because I have a little more confidence in that. But for the maybe fifth time in my radio career, which hasn't been that long, for like the fifth time, I actually predicted something right. And I said that this contract, it's not going to just be about the average value that he's going to be getting per year. You can have that at 18 to 20, but in the end, it's going to be about guaranteed money. He wants to know that he's getting paid. And Jack Bechta, George Kittle's agent, he touched on that briefly, but let's start out just talking about the general contract talk and how amicable it was between Kittle and the 49ers. Here's Jack Bechta, George Kittle's agent.
One of my other mantras was to the Niners C-suite was, hey guys, look, I'm not going to keep throwing stats at you and tell you how great George is. You live with him. You see him in practice every day. You see him with his teammates. You guys should know better than I do. Just don't keep throwing out the threat using the franchise tag on him twice and just paying him $2.1 million a year of punter money. It's not going to bear fruit if we talk like that. And we were both in agreement, and we reminded each other what our options could be, but it was soft, it was professional, it wasn't, we weren't going to you guys and say, hey, my guy's unhappy, blah, 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 and playing from the script of a desperate player. We didn't have to do that. George was too important to the Niners were too important to him, so we stayed in the lanes. Yeah, we kind of veered out now and then, but got back in them and proceeded to work professionally on both sides.
And again, that was Jack Bechta from yesterday. We're going to play a few more clips coming up here. But the thing with Raheem Mostert and George Kittle, I understand it's a business, right? But those guys were such critical pieces to that offense and what they did. I know that Kyle Shanahan tends to do a running back by committee and all of that. I really don't think that that's going to happen this season, and that's why they restructured his contract. I really think Raheem Mostert is going to be getting a bulk of the carries. Kyle Shanahan goes with the hot hand, then he's going to go with Raheem Mostert. I really think that that's what's going to happen. I know he started Tevin Coleman in the Super Bowl, but last year, completely different year. And this year, when you're not going out there with Deebo Samuel, although we do have an update from Cam Inman, who was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday, 49ers insider, he had some interesting thoughts on Deebo Samuel. But if you're not there with Deebo and Jalen Hurd, and you're just going to rely on the rookie wide receiver and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Taylor, who hasn't played in over a year, if you're just going to rely on those guys, then I figured you're going to want to run the football more. And Raheem Mostert is going to have the opportunity, I think. But the point was that when I saw those two having the contracts, reportedly having the contract issues, the contract disputes, whatever, those two just seem like they're having so much fun on the football field, on the 49ers, that they would do what it takes to, they will do whatever it takes to stay on that team in the future. And from the 408, shut up, nice guy. Well, I'm doing a radio show. Can't really shut up. You know what? Dead air. See, that's what happens. Nothing coming through your radio for 4 seconds. That's what happens if you tell me, shut up, nice guy. But anyway, are you saying that because I was doing a victory lap about my George Kittle guaranteed money thing? I'll get to that sound in a second, and I'm going to be running around with my arms raised up like I'm in Chariots of Fire in this 95.7 studio when I'm playing the sound. So excuse me while I'm doing that. But Jack Bechta, he talked about his communication with John Lynch, and I think this is the sound clip for me that should make you as a 49er fan be happy that John Lynch is your GM and should give you some confidence going forward, because you're going to have to pay these good draft picks that you have. You know, eventually Deebo Samuel's going to need to get paid. Eventually Nick Bosa is going to need to get paid. If Javon Kinlaw has a good season, eventually he's going to need to get paid. Ayuk too. And Jack Bechta, George Kittle's agent, talked about his communication with John Lynch and why it was so good. Here's Jack Bechta.
I had told John at one point early on, I said, hey, John, look, I just want to say for the record, I do not want anyone talking to George about his contract within the organization. No one. If it's not football related, I don't want anyone talking to him about it. I want to preserve George's relationship with his coaches. You know, Kyle and him kind of have a mind melt. They're a great match. He's an offensive savant who runs a tight end friendly offense. So I want those two to have a very good relationship. And John and I at one point agreed, like, no matter how ugly things might get, let's make sure we preserve that and protect it, right, from both sides. And actually, from George's stance, he's like, I just don't want any awkwardness between coaches and myself. You know, you do what you got to do, but let's leave that out of it. So we all kind of got on. I was very proactive in identifying that as a possibility. But also, if it did happen, I prepared George for an ambush, you know, because ambushes do happen sometimes.
His dog just happened to bark in the background. From the Chilled Not a Body text line at 888-957-9570 from the 916. Man, a lot of people are not confident in Brandon Ayuk. I see him play at Sierra College and watched him at Arizona. He's a top-tier receiver. Mark this here. He will lead in receptions this year besides Kittle, so he won't lead in receptions this year. Look, it's not that I'm not confident. It's just having the rookie wide receiver and relying on him right away, it's just really tough to do. And it's hard for me. I don't know about you, and maybe you're right because you did watch him at Sierra and at Arizona as well, but ASU. But I do think that for me, knowing if a game or if a player's game will translate from college into the pros, as far as football, it's real tough to tell. It really is. And you know what? It depends how quickly, if he can get the system. And it's not that I'm not confident. I think he's got the skill set, and I think he's got all the tools to be a successful wide receiver. I just don't want to make that leap yet because it is his rookie season after all. And you know what? We can't give a good assessment on his career, at least until 2 or 3 years down the line, because Dante Pettis had a crazy good rookie season. Then you saw what happened in his second year. In this third year, I know a lot of you are down on Dante Pettis, but apparently he looks good in training camp, and we're less than a month away from the start of the season if the season actually happens. So I think there's something to hang your hat on, but it is Brandon Ayuk is going to be one of those guys that I'm going to be looking to. But I will say that I feel that Javon Kinlaw has a lot more slack to pick up because of his position. You know, they got the depth with DJ Jones and Ronald Blair coming back. They got that. But doing what DeForest Buckner did, taking up double teams, letting Dee Ford and Nick Bosa go one-on-one in the edge, and you can imagine that guys are going to be a little more prepared for Nick Bosa, or at least going to try to be a little more prepared for Nick Bosa. But I feel like Javon Kinlaw, out of those two rookies, he has more in terms of just responsibility, I think, as that first-round pick. From the 510, I think Kittle and the Niners' strong run game will help Ayuk adjust to be a leader. I don't think you'd rather be a rookie on any team than the 49ers right now. You could put the Chiefs in that conversation. You could maybe put the Ravens in that conversation, but with just how close-knit of a group this is, and it seems like, you know, Kendrick Bourne, I think, is the perfect example. This dude has so much energy. He gives off such a positive vibe, regardless of what you think of him. But I feel like that overall represents the kind of team that the 49ers are. I don't know if I was a rookie, I don't know if there'd be any other team I'd rather join than the 49ers, to be honest, because it just seems like they have stability and they have a plan and know what they want to do. Jack Bechta continued and continued on John Lynch and also mentioned a detail about what he had Lynch do with George Kittle. Here's Jack Bechta, George Kittle's agent.
The great thing about having a guy like John Lynch in the building who grew up in the locker rooms and is sensitive to the agent side, to the player side, to the coaching side, to the C-suite side, I trusted him, right? And matter of fact, there was one time I said, you know what, you do need to talk to George. And they had a really good, you know, 20-minute face-to-face discussion. And it was a positive thing to remove a big boulder in a negotiation. And it's always good when you go mano a mano and look each other in the eye and go, hey, this is what I want, and let's move on. So it was a plus, and everybody handled it very well.
And again, George Kittle coming up at 7:45 with Coe's Dibs and Roxy Bernstein. But here's the clip. I'm going to take a victory lap on this because if you listened to this show before George Kittle got the contract, I said that it was going to be about guaranteed money, and I don't do this too often, but I'm going to run around the studio as this sound clip is playing. Here's Jack Beck, the George Kittle's agent, talking about what this deal was really about.
The way he plays the game and the physicality in which he plays it, he wants to be unbridled. He wants to play it like an angry bull. He wants to sleep at night. He doesn't want to have to worry about it. So for us, the biggest thing was structured and guaranteed money, real hard dollars, particularly against injury. So this cat has $40 million guaranteed against injury and 30 at signing. Like, that's unheard of for a player of that physical position who plays like that. And that's the meat and potatoes of this deal. You know, it's not a neck snapping. He's worth $18 million a year. I know that. They know that. They won't admit it, but everyone knows that that's the number. And, yeah, if he were a free agent and the market would determine what he's worth, it could have been a number that began with a 2 easily for all you get for him. That's just my professional experience talking. So don't underestimate that 15 number. Yep, it is the minimum. It was kind of the sweet spot. That is a strong contract. It's not a rental contract. It's a ownership buy contract.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Guaranteed money. Thank you so much.
Go dumb for a second.
I will. I will, Dame. I will, Dame. Sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to do it like that.
Like that!
Yeah, like that. Guaranteed money. Had it right. Oh, man. Don't know why I'm doing this at 5:56 in the morning. But, look, again, that just should give you some confidence going forward because John Lynch has that sympathy for the players, and he knows how this goes, and he understands how to work with agents. And you should trust him to make the right moves. And, you know, paying George Kittle, whatever that guaranteed money was going to be, out of the $42 million that Austin Hooper got paid by the Browns, out of that $42 million, $23 million of it was guaranteed, so just a little over 50%. And now you got $40 million out of George Kittle's 75. So he's almost just getting just about as much guaranteed as Austin Hooper has made total. And you could also blame it on the tight end market as well. Jack Bechta, he continued about that. Feel free to go to 957thegame.radio.com or go to download the radio.com app, use the rewind feature. And you can check out that interview. It was really good. I highly recommend you look that up. We also have Kirk Lacob. He was on the show yesterday and gave a, you know, it's interesting thinking about the Warriors and where they stand right now. They got to worry about the draft lottery and worry about getting a top five pick for the first time in forever. And two, they got to keep their team engaged in this offseason, which seems to be incredibly long. So you got that, and you also got to keep their guys in shape. Kirk Lacob mentioned all of that. Again, you can go to 957thegame.radio.com. And George Kittle coming up at 7:45. Can't wait to hear his reaction to getting the contract and all that sort of stuff. I do want to play this update, though, from Cam Inman. Cam Inman was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. And he gave a couple of updates, one on Kinlaw, how he's doing, just an inside look at training camp. But he did mention something about Deebo Samuel and whether he could start week one.
Don't rule out Deebo Samuel being out there on week one. You know, really? I think he's determined to get out there. The Niners got to be real careful because, you know, when you break your fifth metatarsal, the Jones fracture, sometimes you can rush back too fast from it. Trent Taylor suffered that injury in training camp a year ago, but then his problem was the infections that ensued afterwards, and Deebo does not have that issue. And Deebo, he's a different guy. He wants to get out there, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, so Cam Inman did say that, 49ers insider, and he's saying he wouldn't be surprised. But as soon as that injury happened, and we had Dr. David Chow on this station, he said that this is the type of injury, the Jones fracture, that is, that you don't want to rush back out on the field. You want to make sure that Debo's at 100%. So when I hear Cam Inman saying that, maybe he could be on the field, but his snap count would be very limited should that happen. All right, I just want to close out the show with a little bit of this. Dame Lillard yesterday. I mean, come on.
We've seen you hit big shots, but we saw you do something that I don't recall you ever doing before. After you hit the 36-footer, we saw some dance moves right over here in the corner.
They played the East Oakland anthem. So it was only right that I acknowledged the East Oakland anthem and go dumb for a second, and that was it.
Tied at 87. Can't help it when this song comes on, no matter where you're at. You could be in a restaurant. You could be at church. Doesn't matter. You're gonna
go dumb for a second.
Coast Tips and Roxy Bernstein coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.